Hey everybody, this is Jeff Garcia, host of Locked On Spurs. And what you're about to hear is part one of a two-part long discussion regarding the possibility of Kawhi Leonard being traded to the Boston Celtics. You know what's going on with Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs? He wants out. He wants to go to LA, supposedly. But what if? What if Boston presents a good package? Would Boston want to take that deal? Does it make sense for San Antonio to send him? What is the Boston's perspective? So what you're about to hear, again, is part one of a two-part discussion with Locked On Celtics host John Corrales. He's going to give the Celtics fan perspective, the Celtics media perspective, on what would it take for Boston to accept a deal and what would Boston offer San Antonio for Kawhi Leonard. Once again, this is part one of a two-part Locked On episode. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. It is the summer of Kawhi Leonard, as all eyes are on number two and whether or not he will be wearing silver and black moving forward. One destination that has been bandied about has been the Boston Celtics. For obvious reason, Boston has a treasure trove of picks, young players, everything the Spurs need if they're going to pull a trigger on a trade. And it makes sense. You ship them out east, you get yourself some picks, possibly some young talent. You hear names like Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Rozier, etc., etc. Sounds juicy, right? Well, I think it's about time that maybe we pump the brakes a little bit and talk to somebody who's really well connected with the Boston Celtics. He knows everything about the organization, the players, and more importantly, do you think maybe the Boston Celtics, or in this case, John Corrales of Locked On Celtics, who we'll introduce in a few seconds, would even want the team to pull the trigger on a Kawhi Leonard deal? I know Kawhi Leonard, he might say no. Yeah, he actually say no. He doesn't want to. So let's go ahead and introduce my partner over at the Locked On NBA Podcast Network, John Corrales of Locked On Celtics. John, you're killing me here, John. you don't want a top talent in the NBA? Best two-way player in the league? I mean, imagine him paired with Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving. I mean, if Pop was a miracle worker with him and making him more than just a defensive stopper, imagine what Brad Stevens could do. Shocking us, John. This is unreal.
I can't imagine him playing alongside those guys, because I've seen him play alongside those guys when Jaylen Brown plays alongside those guys. He's basically going to become Kawhi Leonard. Now, okay. So, seriously, let's be serious.
Those chirping noises, that's cricket saying we don't get you.
I said that specifically to tweak the Spurs fans. I love you, Spurs fans, by the way. So, here's the deal. The Celtics' interest in Kawhi, I mean, obviously Kawhi makes sense, right? Top five player. He's a guy that, in a vacuum, you go for. The Celtics can trade for him and give up some of their assets. They can give up Jaylen Brown. They can give up some of those draft picks that they have in 2019. They've got potentially four draft picks in the first round of next year's draft. They can give up all of those. It won't matter. They could give all of that up and get Kawhi and improve their team. That is a given. However, it's not about just let me not use the word incremental. It's not about improving their team for next year or the next 2 or 3 years. It's about value. It's about team building. It's about spending your money the right way. And while Kawhi is obviously, like I said, a top five player, obviously the best two-way player in the league, and who would obviously improve the Celtics in the short term tremendously, Jaylen Brown has the ability already in his third year, going into his third year, to give you some portion of what Kawhi can give you. And if you think that Jaylen Brown can be half a Kawhi or more, then you keep Jaylen Brown, because Jaylen Brown is on a rookie contract making $7 million, I think, where Kawhi will be making $30 million. So,
he's not going to break the Boston bank, is he? Because you guys are good at the cap numbers.
No. Here's the thing. The Celtics, next year, he and Kyrie Irving are in the exact same contract.
Kawhi and Kyrie.
The exact same contract. Now, the Spurs, because Kawhi has been there throughout his career, can give him a supermax. The Celtics cannot give Kyrie a supermax. But they make the exact same amount of money this year. They both can opt out of the exact same contract next year. So, and they both are expected to. And Kyrie is expected to get a max contract starting at somewhere in the $30 million range. Kawhi, if they do a sign and trade, can get that supermax. So he's going to make $35 million. They're already paying Al Horford. He can opt into a $30 million contract. Gordon Hayward's already going to make $30 million. So you've got four guys that will make somewhere between $120 and $130 million. Four guys. The tax line's going to be like $130-something million. Dollars. So you're already not even over the cap. You're already at the tax line with four guys. Now,
you're at it. You're not over it, though.
You're not over it, but that's four guys. You've got 11 more guys.
No,
to
I
sign.
Get that, but the 11 other guys.
Even if they're all minimum contracts.
That's what I'm saying.
Even if they're all minimum contracts.
And you can't tell me veterans and players looking to
But
chase
they're not
rings.
All minimum contracts because one of those guys is Jason Tatum.
Oh, well, there's that guy.
You know?
Yeah. Well, we'll take him off your hands.
You know?
Yeah.
And one of those guys might be Terry Rozier. And, you know, there are other guys on that. You've got Semi Ojeleye. Who knows if he's going to stick around in this scenario? Daniel Tice, who knows if he's going to stick around in this scenario. But point is, the Celtics have an opportunity to give the Spurs an instant reset. If the Spurs are trading Kawhi Leonard, you're basically at a point where it's, all right, well, we've got Murray, I don't know.
Aldridge.
You know, at that point, you trade Aldridge. At that point, you move on. You just move on from the rest. And you just hit that reset button real hard, real fast. And the Celtics do provide, I think, the best opportunity to do that because they've got four first-round picks next year. And they could give, potentially, they could give the Spurs two, three of those picks. And now you've got an opportunity to restock your team. And then you take Jaylen Brown. And I think you would have to sign and trade Marcus Smart in this scenario. So you've got, you know, a good culture guy, a replacement for Kawhi, and then picks. It's easy to, like, reset your team real fast. But from a Boston perspective, it's not that I don't want Kawhi. I would love Kawhi on the team. But from a team-building perspective, you have already on this team, under contract, Kyrie, Hayward, Horford. You've got Tatum, who is a Rookie of the Year candidate, probably going to be third in the Rookie of the Year voting. You've got Jaylen Brown, who made a leap from year one to year two. That year two compares favorably to Kawhi's year two. You go from that to seeing what Jaylen Brown's going to be and in the beginning of the season. If he can come back and make a jump, another jump, more consistent with his shot, better with his ball handling, more consistent on the drive, more consistent with his free throw shooting. If you can see that progression year two to year three, then you don't make that deal. So I'm talking a lot. I understand that. But I think for me, I would rather just roll with what they've got, knowing that they could always just readjust. If they're not happy with that year two to year three jump, then they could go ahead and go back to the Spurs in December, like mid-December, when all of the free agents that you resign can now be traded. You can go into December and say, all right, we don't have the patience to wait for Jaylen Brown to become what we think he might become. You trading Kawhi, you will have the patience. You'll let him develop a little bit more. Both Boston and San Antonio's developmental systems would be very good. Then Boston can readjust. But right now, I feel like Boston's on a great path. They can get out of the East with what they have. And in two or three years, when maybe Kyrie and Hayward and Horford are all kind of past their contracts and have moved on. You have another generation of Celtics that are contending behind Tatum and Brown and who knows whoever else they've got at that point.
You were talking about instant. You said it'll be an instant reset for San Antonio. And you're right, it would be. And I think in this scenario, both sides would benefit, because not only would it be an instant reset for San Antonio, it'd be pretty much an instant lock for the Boston Celtics to head to the NBA Finals. Not just 1 year, 2 years, multiple years if things go right. Now, look, you got the Philadelphia 76ers breathing down your neck. They had a phenomenal draft. Yeah. You're at that with Embiid, Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
If reports are true that Philadelphia is also interested in Kawhi and he goes there, Boston may be in a world of hurt, knowing that with that one move that they could have done with San Antonio, could have pretty much held back Sixers, saying like, you know what, nice try. Well, we got, look at our squad now.
Sure. Is Philly trading for Kawhi in this scenario?
They
would have to, right?
So, yes.
Yeah, because Kawhi is under contract for one more year, so they would have to trade mm-hmm. for Kawhi. So what are they giving up?
That's the question.
So they would have to give up probably what, like Covington and Fultz and other players? So, yes.
I believe they have pick. I think they have
pick. And picks, yeah, but they would picks. Still have to match the salaries.
And not to mention, Spurs would love to ship them east.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally get that.
Technical difficulties here. I just think
that's because I was adjusting myself and I knocked the microphone over.
He's a beast.
The thing with that is it's a very similar scenario. To trade for Kawhi, you have to give up things. So if you're giving up Covington and Fultz and whatever else to make the salaries match, I don't have the salaries in front of me, but
we have beer cans in front of us. That's what we have.
We totally do. Yes, we do. If you're giving up those things, those players, I hate calling players things. I apologize. Yeah. But Covington is a big-time wing defender. You're adding a bigger-time wing defender, but what you're doing is you're taking away a guy that could be, you know, a guy for depth. You're taking away Fultz, who I know had
horrific
year. Yes. Yeah. But came into last year the consensus number one pick, and if he can get his head right, can be a very productive player.
Right.
I'm certainly not going to give up on Fultz yet. As much as I like to make fun of him, it's, you know, the jokes are the jokes.
I'll give the kid another season.
Reality is reality. Yes. If the kid can get his shot back down, he can be a dynamic player in the NBA.
The few games we saw, he looked like he has something.
He can. Yeah. He certainly has the potential to be a very good player. And so the Spurs could get very good assets.
A number one pick, basically.
Absolutely. If you get Fultz and Covington and picks, that's also a very good.
And he shipped east.
Yeah, of course. Yes. Of course. But from a Celtics perspective, the Celtics would still have depth, because they still have a starting five in that scenario of Kyrie, Tatum, Brown, Hayward, and Horford, plus depth that...
But Philly wouldn't have that type of depth, but they would still have depth nonetheless. They got McConnell.
Yeah.
They'll have their pick. That means Zaire Smith, I believe.
Yeah.
That's who they picked. They'll have Redick, who is very serviceable.
If they keep him.
Redick.
Hey, look, the Celtics just beat Philly in five. So
okay, fine. Throw Kawhi in there.
Throw Kyrie and Hayward in there. Fine. They beat Philly in five without Kyrie and without Hayward.
I just think if Boston is going to make a move to solidify themselves for a long time, not to say they can't do it right now.
I get it.
That would be instant versus...
I get it.
You talked about Jaylen Brown projecting to become Kawhi. You already would have the Kawhi with you right there.
I get it. From a basketball perspective, if it was like 2K and you just put Kawhi in there...
It's like riding the DeLorean in Back to the Future and you get there right now.
I admit it. I totally... Yeah. Of course, that would be an immediate basketball upgrade. But I am looking at it from a longer-term perspective. Danny Ainge has been very adamant about building this like dual path for the Celtics, where they have their contenders now, Kyrie and Hayward and Horford, with the bench and with Tatum and Brown, they're contenders now. Whatever happens, if they stay healthy, they are one of the favorites, if not the favorite, to come out of the East right now, as is. In 2 or 3 years, Tatum will be still on his rookie contract. Jaylen Brown will be just off his rookie contract. You still have Robert Williams. They just drafted him. Who knows what he becomes? He's one of the guys.
Will he show up to his first day of work?
Yeah.
Well, at least do that.
He could.
Yeah.
If he shows up, yeah. Okay. He could be. Yes. But he's one of those guys that could be a steal. Like, I've seen people call him a potential steal of the draft.
I think everybody's a potential steal.
Everybody's a potential steal. You guys got a potential steal with Lonnie Walker. Which, by the way,
go ahead.
Best draft day photo ever.
Wait. I was going to debate that over Noah. Noah was hilarious.
Noah was great. Noah, I don't know.
No, I got Noah as number one.
Maybe. Yeah. But the hat, like 3 feet above his head, that's so damn funny.
You know what? I was at the draft, and I saw him walk the stage.
Yeah.
And they give him the hat, obviously.
Yeah.
He didn't want to put it on. I think he was aware of it. And then Silver, if you go back and look at the video, he's urging him, like, you got to put the hat on. He was very reluctant. By the way, I was able to talk to him afterwards, and a colleague of mine was there, and he brought up, you know, what about the hat? He says, literally, I'm paraphrasing here, saying, like, I have beef with caps.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously.
Of course.
Yes.
I made the joke on Twitter when he walked across the stage that he is basically Alfred Payton if you set from landscape to portrait. You just take Alfred Payton's hair and you just twist it up to portrait and it's like, oh, okay, that's Lonnie Walker. But
anyway. Well, I was waiting for Kid and Play to come out and start dancing and, you know, doing their thing. All
right, hold but, on. I need another beer.
Oh, yeah. Get your beer.
There we go.
You hear that? Now we can convince him to get the trade.
Podcasting.
Now we can convince him to do the Boston Kawhi trade.
No.
Let's liquor him up.
So, back to my point. It's Danny Ainge has built this team to contend in two different eras. That they legitimately have a possibility of contending for like 10 years. Because if you do it right, Tatum and Brown become your fourth and fifth all-stars. They become the guys that you're trying to go for. And again, I get it. Kawhi is better. Kawhi is absolutely...
You realize you're talking about a possible title.
No, I get it.
Now.
But I'm also talking about a potential title now as well. Like, with... It's not about Kawhi... what he can bring. There is value in a player at this point for this team. And it's got to be, you got to understand I'm talking about this team at this point in their development. There is value in Jaylen Brown being a role player who is dangerous versus Kawhi, who is a superstar player, no doubt. But down the stretch, who takes the shot? Who is it? Kyrie? Is it Hayward? Is it Kawhi? There's a lot of kind of
that's
star
a great
power.
Problem to have.
Of course.
But I take that problem every day.
But defensively.
Oh, good Lord.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
You're defending the Celtics. How much different as a defender do you defend Kawhi off the ball or Jaylen Brown off the ball if Jaylen Brown is a near 40% three-point shooter? If you're, and I'm not saying what the ability of Kawhi is versus what the ability of Jaylen Brown is. I'm talking about the Celtics are facing a defense. The Celtics are facing Golden State. Do you sag off of Jaylen Brown? Do you help off of Jaylen Brown? He's a 40% three-point shooter. If he is a, or 35%, if he's average three-point shooter, Do you help off of him if he is a guy that can catch and shoot, and if he's wide open, you're afraid of him knocking it down? The point I'm making is you don't need Kawhi Leonard in that spot. When you have Kyrie, when you have Hayward, when you have Al Horford, all you need there is a guy on offense that is dangerous enough to keep a defender close to him. You don't have to pay that guy $30 million to do it. And that's the thing. If salaries weren't an issue, if team building wasn't an issue, then yeah, Kawhi for sure. No doubt about it.
You wouldn't pull even the trigger.
No question about that. But in a salary cap, luxury tax era, when you're trying to build a team that is competing now, that's also you have opportunities to compete later, when you're trying to manage money, you have a guy in Jaylen Brown that is dangerous enough that you can't sag off of him because he will hit that three. If you overreact to him, he can put the ball on the floor and drive. Not nearly as good in either case as Kawhi, but good enough. And he is a pretty good defender. Again, not as good as Kawhi, but good enough. He's had turns on LeBron, and he's only in his second year. If he can improve at a reasonable amount in year three, then the value, and the word value is very important to me here, the value of Jaylen Brown on his rookie contract is better than paying $30 million for Kawhi. Never mind his medical, never mind whether he'll re-sign. On a team that you're paying three max contracts already and you're trying to plan long term, Jaylen Brown at $7 million, I think, is a very, very good value because he's not... Kawhi Leonard is not four times better than Jaylen Brown, but he's going to make four times as much money. Mm-hmm. That's why I say keep Jaylen Brown. And eventually, in 2 or 3 years, maybe he becomes 70% of Kawhi. Maybe he becomes 100% of Kawhi. Maybe he becomes the next Kawhi.
Right.
Who knows? But even if he becomes 70% of Kawhi, then that's worth keeping him and paying him. Because his max contract after his rookie deal is still a lot less than the max contract because you're giving him an extension based on his prior salary and you're giving him raises based on his prior salary. So you give him that rookie extension versus the extension that Kawhi is going to get. To me, it just makes sense to keep a guy on his rookie contract that has the potential to become that good. It makes sense to me in a salary cap, luxury tax era of team building.
What, you wake up one morning and you read the headline, Celtics traded for Kawhi. Are you up in arms?
No, not at all.
Are you up in arms? Are you saying, okay, what did we give up?
Again.
I mean, are you, as from the Boston perspective, if you, like I said, if you wake up one day and you see the news, you see that, are you happy or are you kind of, okay, you know, in the middle of the road?
No,
sounds like you might be in the middle of the road saying like, you're fine. Okay.
I'm good with it. Like I said, on a in a pure basketball perspective, having Kawhi now is amazing. And you roll out Kyrie, Kawhi,
Horford
and Hayward.
My goodness.
And Tatum. I mean, that's Warriors-esque. Yeah, you're going to be committed.
Yeah, it's done.
And again, it's not my money. So, I mean, I don't care. If the Celtics owners and Danny Ainge are willing to pay whatever that is.
And Kawhi says to Boston, I'll commit.
And of course. If you're doing that and everybody's willing to pay and they say, I don't care if our payroll is $200 million, then fine. That's fine. Absolutely.
So you won't hate it.
Of course not. Like, and I want to make sure that's clear.
Yeah,
from a basketball perspective, Kawhi currently is an upgrade over Jaylen Brown. That's obvious.
Right.
That from a pure basketball vacuum, no salaries matter. I'm completely on board with Kawhi.
You're packing his bag. Of course, San Antonio to Boston.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. But I'm trying to approach this from the mindset of a general manager trying to, like, I'm trying to get into Danny Ainge's head. Mm. And I'm trying to look beyond just putting a team on the floor that's, whatever, devoid of financial obligations and future obligations and future consideration. In a 2 or 3 year window, you're basically, it comes down to this. The Celtics can keep a window open for anywhere from 7 to 10 years right now. They can really open that window much wider if they trade for Kawhi, but they're giving up 4 years potentially down the road.
Right.
Because at some point, billionaires don't become billionaires by pissing money away.
Yeah.
At some point, the Celtics, with Kawhi and four guys making $120, $130 million, with the tax and the repeater tax on top of that, and you're paying out $200 million, you could potentially have the most expensive team in NBA history.
Well, you mentioned Warriors-esque. There it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you, as Wick Grosbeck and the ownership group, willing to spend that money? If you are, great. More power to you. Okay. Let's get Kawhi, and then let's roll with it. But at some point, I think in 3 or 4 years, what's going to end up happening is Horford might be gone, Kyrie might be gone. They're going to start selling off some of their more expensive contracts and getting back down to where they are now,
right,
with 2 or 3 contracts and trying to build around that. So it's really my stance on I don't want Kawhi. It's not that I do not want him as a player. I'm trying to get into the GM's head and build a team and take a calculated risk. You're saying right now the Celtics without Kawhi as currently built, they are probably, depending on how player movement goes this summer, the favorites to come out of the East. At least one of the favorites to come out of the East. You look at Golden State, obviously very good, but, you know, each year it gets harder and harder and harder. And you never know if Durant's going to be pissed. You never Draymond's going to be pissed. Draymond's coming up on a contract year. He's going to start going for his and throwing things out of whack. You know, maybe they feel like it's too expensive and maybe they move Klay Thompson. Or maybe Steph Curry's ankle becomes a problem.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen there. And or maybe Houston is just good enough to get past them or beat them up. Maybe LeBron goes to the Lakers,
right,
and those three teams beat each other up and the Celtics swoop in a little healthier. So I feel like the calculated risk is you build a contender now that could win the finals and you roll with it and you keep that window open longer.
Here's my thing, you know, from the Spurs perspective, you hear rumblings about Kawhi wanting to go to LA, whether it be the Clippers or the Lakers. He prefers the Lakers, obviously, but LA. There's reports out there that the Spurs, Popovich, don't want him to go west, obviously.
Sure.
Okay. And you hear, you know, I hear my guys, my sources telling me that, you know, he's gone. You know, you hear other stuff. No, what are you talking about? He's going to be back. You know, don't believe the rumors. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Even if Kawhi stays, okay, I don't know if I want a guy who has been reportedly a malcontent, okay? Here, I'm going with somewhere where this is the Boston side of it, okay?
Go ahead.
Knowing that the way Kawhi and his camp and his uncle, blah, blah, you've heard the stories, and the Spurs fans are listening in, you know we've talked about it many times here on Locked On Spurs. Would you want to take a guy like that? Knowing that he may come, he's had this issue with the Spurs. The Spurs!
Yeah.
And then you hear rumors, rumblings about his uncle being kind of a control freak and, you know, I want here. I guess what I'm trying to get at is the Spurs fans' perspective is Boston makes sense as far as getting equal value. The closest they're going to get to equal value. Boston has that.
Sure.
And you're fine. You're right. Kawhi is franchise material.
Mm-hmm.
You're okay with that? Knowing that he might come back with that, come to Beantown with that kind of baggage?
Well, I mean, everybody's got baggage. If he comes to Boston...
He's almost a LeVar Ball light.
No.
Light. I said no, light.
Well, not even.
If you got an uncle, so reportedly, controlling the strings, getting in his ear, telling me this, Popovich, no, we're good. You know, you're not allowed to talk to my guy, my nephew.
Yeah.
Pushing away. I mean, he's not... I said light. Didn't say LeVar-esque. I said very light.
Very light.
Yeah.
Very light.
I don't know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I feel like if you get a commitment, if your team has committed to let's make this deal, and he is like willing, say yeah, I'll sign with you long term.
Okay, fine.
Then you have to accept that. You know, you've talked to at that point. You, yeah. I assume, have talked to his uncle and talked to
his camp, his yeah.
camp, his sneaker company, his you know whatever to get. Somebody to make sure that everybody's cool with him in this situation, then yeah. And I would assume that Danny Ainge, having done his due diligence the way he always does, would have cleared all of that ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if it got down to that, then yeah,
that's not okay. A deal breaker for you.
No,
it's not,
look,
okay,
look, players like Kyrie just forced his way out of Cleveland. It's players force their way out of situations all the time.
Unreal, this NBA nowadays.
It's yeah. Look, it is what it is.
Thanks, LeBron.
Yeah, but you know yeah. what? I think it's an understanding. I mean, yeah, in some ways, thanks, LeBron. Yeah. But I'm going to take the positive side of that because you know me, I always come from the player's perspective right. on things like this. If I'll pose a situation to you, Kawhi Leonard sits down with Pop and he says, you know what? I talked to my uncle. He screwed this up. And I want to stay in San Antonio.
Yeah.
And he comes out and he says, I apologize. The whole thing was blown out of proportion. Yeah. I got bad advice. And Spurs fans, I would assume, would say, oh, great.
Yes.
Great. Yes.
Right away.
Okay. He signs the Supermax extension.
Yeah.
What happens if he signs that Supermax extension and the quad issue slows him down?
I've talked about this many times here yeah. on Locked On Spurs.
And if yes. he goes...
I know where you're going
if
with
he
this.
Becomes an 18 and 10 player, like a good player, but not super...
Yeah, no, I know. I think it's risk all around. Whether he gets traded, he stays in San Antonio, whatever happens to himself in the future.
But wouldn't you... If Kawhi becomes okay, he just never regains that superstar quality... How many people in San Antonio would say, well, we got to trade this guy?
Oh, it'll be in a hurry.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So he...
Or it would be, why did we keep him?
Right.
We had a chance. We should have traded him while his value was high.
Right. Point is, right now, people will hold it against Kawhi and his camp for saying, I want to be traded while he's still under contract, but... The second he becomes less than valuable to the Spurs, or any player becomes less than what their contract is to their team, fans and media will say, well, it's time to trade this guy. So, point is, a guy who's saying, I don't want to be here anymore, even though he's under contract and people might say, well, you got to honor your contract. Teams don't necessarily honor the contract, quote unquote, because I, as a player, signed a 4-year deal to play for the San Antonio Spurs. 2 years into it, they trade me to the Los Angeles Lakers or the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I'm like, I signed a deal to play for the Spurs. Honor the contract. Why are you trading me? You know what I mean?
This is such a mess.
It is a mess.
It's a mess.
But you know what? That's the business of the NBA. You can sign a deal somewhere.
Yeah.
You can go somewhere. And all of a sudden, for some reason, maybe it's as simple as Tony Parker pissed him off.
Which I have an issue with that, if that's true. I have a big issue with that.
Maybe he wants more notoriety. Maybe the injury freaked him out so much that he's like, oh, shit. I got to go to a big market where I can make... $100 million sneaker
yeah.
contract because I'm afraid that this thing's going to cut my career short and I need to start making other money.
IT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to start making outside money, and I'm not going to make this kind of money in San Antonio. I need to become a Laker, a Bull, a Knick,
a Philly, a Celtic, a Sixer,
one of those big marquee NBA cornerstone franchises, and I got to start making outside money because my career is not going to be what I thought it was.
Yeah.
And I got, like, that could be a motivation too. So he's what, going to be 27?
Barely.
You know?
Yeah, like, I know.
So whatever the motivation is, that is what it is. And maybe we don't like it, but if it comes down to trading for a guy or accepting the guy on your team long term, I have to just believe that whatever motivation led him to that team, whatever team he decides to go to, he will make that decision based on being there for more than 2 or 3 years. Right. He's going to be there for a longer yeah. term, and it's not just he's flaky.
Yeah.
I think he's got other things behind this decision, and he's trying to do whatever it is that he's doing.